Let's go ahead and say a word of prayer. Jim, would you mind asking?
Our Heavenly and Almighty Father, we humbly come before you at this time, Father. We pray that you be with us as we talk about this congregation's business, Father. We pray that all that we decide, Father, according to your will, according to the pattern you've given us. We pray, Father, that we all, everything we do in accordance with your scripture. We pray that we do everything in love, Father. We pray that you be with us as we make the decisions, Father. We pray that you guide and direct us in these decisions. Pray all these things through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Okay. Let's start our business meeting tonight. I think the first thing we should start off with is George has come forward and said that he would like to be a member here. Do you have anything you'd like to fit in here? Or pressure just...
I can't think of anything I was going to say besides that.
Does any of the members have a question or a reason why we shouldn't?
What's his monthly dues going to be?
I don't know, but yours just went up.
Well, I'm unemployed right now, so I don't know what you're going to be able to do.
Thank you.
That's membership.
That's taken care of then. The first thing as far as our agenda goes is to approve last month's minutes. Now, those minutes have been out on the website for a month. They're hanging up in the back for a month. Anybody need to review anything first, or can we approve the minutes from last meeting?
I motion we approve.
I'll second.
It's been seconded. Everybody good with that? Anybody not approve? Anybody opposed to that? All right, so they will be considered approved. The next thing we had was to settle the question of women attending our business meetings. Is there been any change on that, or...
If I could just address that for just a few moments, I have been in conversation with a number of individuals in the congregation. There are two questions at this point is whether there would be anything unscriptural or inappropriate about it, and the second would be whether it would be expedient even if there wasn't. And I think that although there may be some interest in the discussion or study of this, because we kind of intended to do that before this meeting and it wasn't done, that nevertheless, we might want to consider the expediency of it, because there are a number of ladies who have expressed to me personally that they would be unwilling to attend and would have qualms about attending that meeting. And then there also have been a couple of men who have expressed the same type of qualms about that. And without even addressing the scripturality of it, the ladies who indicated... Two of the ladies that indicated an interest in attending have both said that if it would cause any concern on the part of any, that they were satisfied with simply listening to the minutes or the meeting on the website and reading the business notes, especially if we're willing to be in contact with them concerning any concerns that they might have. And so it seems to me that maybe the most expedient thing would be to just have men's meetings. That would be the suggestion I would make, just because of the qualms that some have in the congregation. Personally, I don't think that there's necessarily anything wrong with women being present. So I don't have that scriptural objection to it, but I am a little bit concerned about how some would feel about it if we were to have it. So that's just my thoughts on that.
I agree with you, but I don't think we should be a stumbling block anymore. So is everybody good with going forward with that approach?
What do you mean by that?
Leave it the way it is.
We're not going to have. We're not going to
need a motion.
No. Oh. Disagree. Yeah. So let's move. Everybody, ready to move to the next point then. The next part is settle our question of the question of our public response to dissolving the eldership. The eldership has been dissolved, and I know that. There's been some people that have put some things out there about what happened, and some of those things kind of don't really reflect the accuracy of what happened. Personally, I think we should at least put the letter that we wrote on our website and make that available for anybody who wants to see it. Kind of open the floor to discussion for that. Josh?
I agree. I think that the letter is that statement of action.
Yes,
it was what you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what I have already prepared a post that's been waiting to be published that consists of the two things, the statement that everyone signed and that article that appeared in the bulletin explaining our right to do what we did. And what I can do with that, there's a situation where I'm posting things and this automatically stays at the top for a period of time where we can do that so that our official position would be recognized if that's what men would like to do. So I could have that up this evening if that's what you desire.
I think that would be good. And I also think any of the congregation that asks us should get the same thing.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah, when Dennis that night, the night, December 19th, I guess it was, when he asked all those to stand, you know, the eldership was not dissolved at that time. He didn't ask. He might refresh us if you remember what you said, how when you ask people to stand, because people need to know that it was a majority rule and think that they should be dissolved.
And that's in that letter.
It's in the letter, yeah.
Yeah, it's in the letter.
And
in the
explains how wrong it was and that type of thing. It was, right. I can't remember exactly what it was, but there was enough there that Brad should decide if he had a good enough authority, would have resigned, like seeing many others which didn't have any problem. You know, they didn't do anything wrong, but they could see best for the congregation if they resigned. But anyway, I just a side note I added.
So that's in there. Anybody else?
Which site would we place it on?
This is our own website. Okay. It's not teaching. And I don't think there's any necessity of anything beyond that. And again, with regard to most of the congregations that expressed an interest in it, they are at least aware of the situation. But that will be an official statement.
All right. Everybody good with that?
Good with that.
All right. Next is a question of what should be done about Jerry and Brad, because we did remove them from the eldership because they were unfit and in sin.
Well, originally we were kind of waiting to see where they settled. Since they're starting up their own congregation, the only thing we could possibly do is write a personal letter to each one of them, as far as I could see. They're not going to another congregation or trying to join another congregation where we would have to let that congregation know what happened. In my opinion, the only thing we could possibly do is send each one a personal letter. And if anybody has any other suggestions other than that.
Well, no, I agree. It's just, well, what to put in that letter? Should we specifically, say, here's, what we're... what you've been accused of and what you've done and you need to repent. That was already said, some of that, on that Wednesday night. But a lot of, if I'm not mistaken, what we're going to bring out wasn't even gotten to. And I don't think it's necessary to include every single little thing, but we would do that and, give them, a week to respond and then send them, to mark them or what is that, or just do that at first because we've not received a response yet. I think that's something that needs to be discussed a little bit.
To me, the rule on this is if a brother has aught against you and you know it, you're supposed to go to him and get it worked out. That's the rule on the matter for the scriptures.
I've been here this morning in Bible class.
I would have loved to, brother, but...
No, I meant we discussed that.
Okay.
And that didn't fit with this situation.
And I... It doesn't fit the situation?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I clearly stated when I was standing up there that in my review of the 1128 discourse, both audio and transcript, and personal recollection, there were seven things that I directly noted that were wrong on their part, and they haven't come to me at all to figure out what those things are. And it seems to me that there is zero interest to even admit there might be any wrong on their part. So it's, and they all know. They know each one of us has something. That's why they're not elders here anymore. And they still have not stopped to say, "What do you guys think we've done?" So I don't know how effective anything would be.
Well, that's why I was saying I think the only course we have is a personal letter because they haven't shown any.
Yeah, there's that was a little thing. Even if every little thing wasn't completely made aware to them specifically, there was no. You're right. There was no admission of any wrong done or throughout that entire process.
That January 26th had been that presentation I gave there really meant to be for Wednesday nights, but nobody was a lot of people here. But anyway, I brought in there how that they split the church, and I got to thinking about they didn't split the church, they left the church. And how can they start a congregation on sin? Maybe not all 17 or 18 how many were sin, but I mean, a number of them have, especially Brad and especially Bob Ward and Jerry and Brad, So how can they start a congregation on that? And then we send them a letter acknowledging that that what they have is the Lord's church. I don't know how we feels on that. Maybe that's too much judgment. I don't know, but.
Well, how much authority do we have over them since they left?
Right, and why do we keep bugging them about it? They did what they did, and they think they did it in all good conscience. They think we're renegades. So why keep picking at that scab?
I don't think that's something we should do, and I don't know much of that going on. But I do think that whenever a situation like this arises, there are certain responsibilities we have to those we find in sin, and in that situation, what I think should the best thing forward is not to try to go into detail and all that, but just to express our love for them and our concern about their soul, and call upon them to repent. And out of that expression of love, and I'm with Monty in the sense that I don't think it's going to do any good because of their attitude. So it would not be so much to try to cause a problem with them, but rather to fulfill our duties to try to make a difference. I just don't know that we've completely done that as of yet, and I think that they're expecting some response from us. When they left, they said, we're leaving, you do what you have to do. And so they do expect us to respond. But just, that because of their actions and their unwillingness to repent, that we would not consider them worthy of fellowship, but we hope and pray that they'll make amends and make acknowledgments because we would love to receive them back. And if we just leave it at that, that leaves it in their bailiwick at least. And perhaps we will have done a duty that we have in that regard. But no, I mean, anything that we do, we want to be as kind as we possibly can and express our love toward them in that, because the conflict has been hard enough at this point in time. We don't want to persist.
Right. Along that,
make it rift worse.
So along that, are you not going to send a copy of everybody signed that thing?
I don't know that there's a need. I think, I mean, they know what our issue with them is. We've made it very clear.
Right. And posting that on the website is making it public already.
They can see that.
And by the way, you said that their things have been spread, and there certainly have been. I've come across a number of individuals who've been told that primarily the thing that's being said is that Josh and I were responsible for splitting the congregation. That's the primary story that's being put out. So they're individuals. They're telling individuals this, and we've been pretty reticent, I think, in that regard. We've not been trying to. Anybody who comes and asks me, I'm going to tell them, but I'm not going to go try to campaign for our side, because there's no purpose in that. But that has been done, and it's kind of distressing to me. But there's really not much we can do about it.
All right. No, that's true.
But once more, we heard word of wisdom.
Josh?
No, I was just going to second what Stan was saying as far as probably just to draft a letter to them expressing our, you know, continued love and like you do with any person that was, had left for whatever reason. You know, a letter expressing our concern and our, you know, continued love for them and, you know, willingness to take them back should they choose to repent of what they left for. But I would, like Monty was saying, I don't think there's any reason to necessarily pick at them, so to speak, or do anything to, like, further, you know, exacerbate the situation, as it were. You know, they did leave. They originally, you know, Brad said that they weren't going anywhere, and then a week later, they, you know, peacefully left. They didn't give us any problems. They handed us the check to the bank account, and we were able to go on about business as usual. So, I mean, there's been some hiccups there and there that we've had to get over, but for the most part, they peacefully went their own way. So, I'm not saying that that, you know, obviously, if they ever do start at work and, you know, start advertising or whatever, as far as I can see right now, they're just meeting in somebody's home and they're not, you know.
So does anybody have a trouble with drafting a letter and sending it to them? Expressing our concern and love for them?
Yeah, let me. I just don't want this to be perceived as a feud, you know. And it seems to me right now that it is. And like you said, I was in that Sunday night meeting, and they both thought that the Coxes were tag teaming them. And I said, look, any Christian has a right to challenge the eldership if you think they're unscriptural, and that's still my view. If anybody in this congregation is trying to lead an unscriptural effort, it's incumbent upon us to voice that concern and show evidence against. But anyway, I just don't want this to look like some massive feud that's going on.
Well, I think that's what Stan was saying. Not list what they're sending. Yeah, just a simple letter saying.
And you know, the simpler, the better. Just say, we love you.
Look out for
we offer you this avenue to come back and just leave it at that. Just
not to like prolong the solution here, but I would suggest that we find someone that is a good wordsmith to draft said letter. And we review it as a group, sign our names to it, and, you know, go on about it, business as usual.
I'm willing to write the letter.
I was going to volunteer.
But that's what I would like, maybe if we were to do that, to pen the letter, and I'll have my computer with me. If next Sunday night we can just meet for a moment, approve it. If we need to make changes, I can make changes, print up a new copy, we can sign it, and get it, because I would like to get this over with.
Yep.
In that regard, where we could go on. I'd be glad to do that and try to fashion it in such a way as to, you know, let them know that we're concerned about their souls, but that we love them and desire that repentance and reconciliation if possible.
Right.
I mean, that's up to y'all in that regard. But again, I can have the letter ready. We do need to get on it. If we're going to do it, we need to do it pretty quick because we've already been a month beyond it.
So that said, I agree. Should we set a time and date right now for having that done by?
Well, you said next Sunday.
Yeah, I said I'm sorry. Ready. We can sign it next Sunday. And I can mail it.
Gotcha. Sorry, didn't hear that.
So my understanding then, this is not what, if there is such a thing, a traditional letter of withdrawal.
Right.
It's just a final effort, a call to repentance. And even though we've done that before, it's good to have something in writing and leave it in their hands. I think that's a good idea.
Do we?
I'm curious about our relationship with them then. Going from, you know, henceforth, and our relationship with the brethren that are worshiping with them.
That was my question.
Has thought been given to that? Any discussion?
Well, they're in sin.
Are they all?
And that, I was going to say, I kind of have a little bit of experience from this perspective, from the dealings in Wichita Falls surrounding the split in 2001. The question was brought up, as Dick mentioned, that, well, are they another congregation? Will not need more than, say, any of our institutional brothers are our brethren. Yeah, they are our brethren, but they are erring. And the question is, a congregation started in sin. Has it ever even had a candle? I mean, you look at Revelation, and you've got seven churches of Asia right there. They all had candlesticks, and some were very much in jeopardy of losing their candlestick. But the question is, in some congregations, did they ever have a candlestick? And the solution, the answer that was brought up, and consensus was amongst the congregations, no, they never had a candlestick, because every last one that left understood very thoroughly, because there was that much discussion that went on about everything, where the truth was and who was arguing against it. And so everyone that left knew full well. So we couldn't say, well, you know, there are some people that are worshiping over there in ignorance because they don't know. But everyone that left and started the other church was in the wrong. And so the answer was no, they're not even recognized. They can't be scriptural. So that's what the answer was that we came to in Wichita Falls when we had a similar question. I don't know if that brought up more questions, but because I'm seeing a lot of puzzled faces.
But. I would say they definitely don't be affiliated with us anymore. So they'd be a separate.
Well, they don't have any interest, yeah. I mean, there's a practical aspect of this that they're not going to be coming over here anytime soon to visit with us.
Right.
Brethren, I don't know how to answer those questions, but every individual has a right to attend where they're most comfortable in that regard, and we recognize and understand that. We are acknowledging the sin. We're pushing, pointing out the sin that was present in Brad and Jerry. As far as everyone in the congregation who left, I don't know that they had the full understanding. It's not a doctrinal matter. This was an action thing that happened rather than a doctrinal issue. And I have talked with several of those individuals who left, and they just have no concept. And it's because they've been misled, that they don't know, and they're confused. And I'm just not willing personally to put them in the same place that I put Brad and Jerry in that regard. I'm concerned about their soul, certainly, but I mean, that's I just don't know where to go with it. I just know what I think we need to do with Brad and Jerry, but the other members, I don't know that I can get there with it, just because of the fact that there are two sides to every story. And if someone just is not clear about things or allows, just hears one side, doesn't listen to the other side. There are people who left before, when the elders said, let's pull this to a close. They left because the elders told them to, and didn't hear everything that went on. And I say you don't have opportunity to. I'm just saying, I kind of have a problem with us saying that they're not all right with the Lord. I don't know that for sure. I'm concerned about it, but I don't know that for sure.
Well, but here's the thing. They're sheep. We're sheep, okay, and we want to be led. And these people want to be led, and they look at Brad and Jerry as the only shepherds, period. Okay, and they're going to gravitate to the shepherds. And this is all about perception. You know, this is all about pride and perception, in my opinion. And they don't, and from what I understand, like Don and Barbara doesn't want to hear this side. They said, hey, they're holy ordained elders. Yeah. And in Brad's words, I'm ordained by God, and he's the only person that can remove me. So.
That's a scary thing to say. This gets back to they don't have to necessarily hear both sides because they've had plenty of opportunity.
Right.
Plenty of opportunity, yet they still choose to be there.
Right.
It's like, how would we treat any of our institutional brethren?
Every one of those individuals, Josh, I have already made a personal appeal, a pretty strong personal appeal, to study with them, to reconcile with them, to do whatever I can to make things right. I think there are others who have done that as well.
Sure.
I just feel like that what brought this to a head was the actions of the elders and the lording it over the flock and the sins that they committed, and that those are the ones we need to deal with, and we need to express our love to the others and our desire for reconciliation.
Sure.
If any of them chose to come back, I don't think it would take more than a short conversation to have any of them come back.
I think that's a good idea, Jim. If any one of them do come back and want to be numbered with us again, then have a conversation with them. They need to understand, or they would need, I would think, would need to communicate to us that they understand what we did and are agreement with it. Because if they still think what we did was wrong, then they couldn't come back and have fellowship with us.
And I don't think they would come back unless they changed their minds.
Right. And that's all we would need to hear from them. And just leave it to the Lord for now.
You know, about those that might not know, you know, understand all that, but John Jackson brought a real good point out there. The first Sunday morning Bible class we had about that blood is thicker than water, you know, and that's a problem too.
Definitely have
a
part playing it.
All right, I think we're ready to move on, right? Mm-hmm. So the next one is talk about.
What did we decide on then?
A letter that will be approved next Sunday.
Get the keys from Goblins, or do we want to change the code on the arm? I don't know. There,
I think we just need to change the code on the alarm. I don't think that we're gonna. I don't know that we'll see those keys. I would imagine that they just tossed them or whatever. I don't know how many they had to begin with, so trying to reconcile and know that I got all the keys or whatever, it's... as far as the alarm goes, if you want new keys, I can rekey all the locks. The expense for doing that's about $100 for a kit, but... It's just as easy to change the alarm code, and that doesn't cost us anything, I don't believe. Plus, I believe there's some minor repairs we need to have done anyway, or some things looked at, so we might just proceed that direction. I would recommend. My recommendation is to make it that.
Has somebody from the alarm company come out here, change the alarm, and look at fixing what's wrong with the alarm?
Well, okay, I'm not exactly sure we're going to need a repair man come out, because they're basically what's wrong right now is the sensor on the side door. The two motion sensors, as well as some sensors with the air conditioning, are not working correctly. So if you come in the side door, you can walk around the entire building and leave the side door and never set off the alarm. The ones at the front work. But all of those are on the wireless, so they all have batteries.
Right.
And if we were to change all the batteries out, that might fix the problem. I'm not sure that it will, because it seems like maybe the motion alarms, that there's something else wrong with them.
Yeah,
because
I think the only thing
that would be the first step, and if not, if that doesn't fix it, then yeah, we'll have to call the repairman to get it fixed. But that's been the way it's been for over 2 years now.
Yeah,
that side door has been, the motion sensors haven't been working. So we need to get that fixed anyway.
As far as keys go, there's no concern over, I believe that we can make extra copies now, because I checked a couple things this weekend, and seems that it's a standard blank, so all we need to do is basically go to a kiosk that was non-manned with that do not duplicate key, and should be able to make copies, no problem, because it's a standard 68 blank. That's the number, blank number, 68, made by Schlage. So that's everybody. You have one or two keys in your pocket. You got a 68 or you got a 66, and that's Schlage and Kwikset, so.
There may be a practical reason for securing the building better as far as the insurance company is concerned. And if something were to happen and they were to find out that we knew there were keys out and we didn't do anything about it, they could decide against us.
Well, and the same thing for the door and the motion detector. If they knew that for 2 years we've had defective alarm system,
I think the only thing that's not working right now, as far as I know, from the last time I've set the alarm, which has been a couple weeks ago, is we've got an ACE. If we have a signal flashing, AC loss of signal, which is battery, in my experience, which means the only battery that needs replaced right now is the one that's on that AC cage outside of the building. Other than that, we don't have one, which occasionally those will pop up when the batteries need to be changed. Now, as far as what Stan was saying about the motion not working, that was new to me. I don't know if that's... I know that that would happen if the sensor was down, but as far as I know, the only thing that's down right now, as far as the battery part of it, is just that AC's cage, because you have to do an override on that.
Well, I could call the alarm company and get them.
Yeah.
It's just, that wasn't my job. Right. I told the person whose job it was they needed to do it, so... But we can certainly do that. And if you are concerned about that, then, I mean, Josh has expressed that willingness to rekey the locks, and he knows how to do it. That would be the least expensive thing to do, is just go ahead and buy that kit and get them rekeyed and just make your keys.
Yep.
And you're going to have to do that in a kind of a...
It'll probably be a few at a time, because it's going to be a process.
Yeah, but at least maybe all the front doors.
Oh, yeah, it would be sense. I would do probably all the front doors at once and then do all the back doors or something like that. While we're on this, and I know not to bring up new business, but since we're talking about buying, like, a kit, for instance, if that's what we decide to do, being that I have a card or whatever and I do the maintenance, been elected to be in charge of the maintenance and whatnot, can the men set a discretionary amount, $100 or something, that I can work within when I need to take care of things in the building, so I don't have to say, oh, I need a new rake, you know, and like have to wait for a business meeting to get it approved. Is everybody okay with that? Mm-hmm. And just so you know, my track record, I've had a card for almost 5 years now, and I can count the number of times. The only time that I ever used it was to buy paper towels, and then if specifically we needed to order light fixtures. I mean, I don't make trips to the store and buy random things all the time. So.
Okay. Well, when we decide on the alarm system, if it's a security thing,
we're going to get it working.
Okay, we'll get people out here to
I'll get in contact with them. I'll find out how to contact them. Stan and I will.
We want to change all the batteries that we need to first?
In the past, they changed the batteries for us as part of our contract. I don't know if that's how that works, or if we were paying them to do
I'm
that.
I'm not sure if we were paying them or if it was part of the contract. He indicated it should be part of the contract.
We need to find out. And we'll do some research on that and find out.
So everybody okay with letting Josh handle that?
Yeah.
And have the $100 discretionary limit?
They include buying the kit to rekey.
Well, that would fall under that discretionary limit, so I wouldn't have to worry about that. Buy part of it now and part of it next week.
You have authority to buy that anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we'll change the alarm code as well as part of that process. And as soon as we do, we'll make that available to those who need it. All right. Now comes the spring gospel meeting. I know that Stan last time had been talking about. You had a Rolodex full of people?
I do. I've got 30 names. but we've got a situation. We also mentioned in the meetings last month that if anyone had someone they would like to be asked to hold meetings for us, if you would get that information to us. I don't know if anyone has any names.
Andy Cantrell on that list.
Who?
Andy Cantrell.
I know that's a name that Justin has mentioned. He's not here.
Yeah, he's on my list too, by the way. So I brought my names tonight. I didn't know you wanted them ahead of time. I'll send them to you tonight.
Well, that's fine. I had my names. Yeah. But what we need to do tonight, if possible, is to try to decide on someone who could possibly be here for in May. And that's going to be tough. There are a couple of names that I've got. The primary one that I would like for us to possibly consider is Tim Stevens. Tim is the son-in-law of Herman Pruitt.
in Granbury. And so they've got ties here. He's a young man who's doing a good work, but he doesn't, you know, have a lot of meetings scheduled, I don't think, so it's possible he would be open in, on short notice. We're going to have a hard time getting someone in such short notice to come and hold a meeting for us. And the other good thing about that is there would be several from the other congregations who, because it's them, they would come and support the meeting. So we would probably have some good good support from the other congregations.
I could always get my dad and probably get him to do it for free.
I was thinking about Jeremiah too. Jeremiah can't do it because he's getting married today, so right. He can't do that. But yeah, I'll just give you a list of the men or some of the men that I've got in consideration, names that you may have heard, and then the ones that anybody wants to add. We can certainly try to incorporate those, but we do need to get the spring meeting done.
Yes.
I've got Jeremiah Cox, Brett Hoagland, Harry Osborne, Jimmy Stevens in Seminole, Texas, Joe Price, Kyle Campbell, he's in Lufkin, Texas, Bruce Reeves, Jerry Feit, Michael Baker, who's the young man that decided to wait until he gets a little bit more seasoning, Mickey Galloway out in California, held a great meeting for us a while back, John Isaac Edwards, J.R. Bronger, he's in Kansas City, Donnie Rader, Heath Rogers, held a meeting for us about a year or two ago, Dan King, does some good stuff on evidences, Steve Motz, and then in a little more, well, some of the others that I've come up with, Jesse Flowers at the Pruitt and Lobet Congregation in Houston, Lewis Zamora, Caleb Westbrook, Adonis Bailey in Kansas, and then we've got local guys, Mark Smith, Chip Foster, Dennis Scroggins, Nick Crumbry, Steve Locklear, Brett Narmore as possibilities, and maybe we can even have a lectureship in the fall if we aren't able to get someone in short notice with some of those local guys if we wanted to go that way until we get that scheduled. But what we need to do is get names and put the names. I don't know if I put your dad's name on that list or not, but but get names for the future for 2 or 3 years out, because it makes it very difficult to get men if we don't give them a little bit of advance notice. So those are the names that, you know, people I'm confident in and would do a good job for. Some of them more talented than others, but good men.
I don't think we've ever had Lewis Zamora here. I'd like to see him come up here.
We haven't had Lewis.
He's a good person.
Very good speaker. Yep.
So I would recommend, since it's so quick, is trying to find someone is available and that we would be okay with. So if we're okay with Tim Stevens and maybe one or two others, contact them and see if they're available. Just go down the list. Ask Tim, hey, are you available this time? Nope. Okay, go to the next name.
Well, some of the ones are going to be obviously not available.
So. Exactly.
Let's get you a phrase.
It kind of sounded like my dating strategy in high school.
Somebody read that. I got my list.
If I am. Well, let's see. Five down, five no's. I'm not doing anything this weekend.
Really, the most realistic, as far as in the list that I have given you, other than Tim Stevens, would probably be some of the local men in the area. Do what?
Is Chip held me for us?
Yes. It's been a number of years ago, but most of these guys have.
I think he did.
But I don't know if it's a meeting or just one time.
I think he did. It was he did a meeting for. Or at least in the lecture trip, maybe.
Let me talk with Tim, and if that's all right with everyone for this, at least this spring.
Is that Tim?
Tim Stevens. And if we can't get him, then I'll kind of make some just some questions, talk with someone who may know someone and who's not. Because I can talk to some of my preacher friends and see if they, I know they won't be able to come, but maybe they know of a man who would be able to do a good job for us.
Right.
And I can bring some names back next week when we talk about the letter. Just they'll run them by me if Tim can't do it.
People who are actually available other than just a list.
Right. Yeah, try to have a few that are available. I didn't want to presume about any of that, but the one thing I did want to suggest would be Tim, because I think there's a pretty good chance he might could come, since Michael can't.
Isn't Dennis Scroggins really available?
I don't know if he's available or not.
It depends on when his knee surgery is.
Yeah, his knee surgery is April 2nd, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, on my birthday. That's right.
Yeah,
well, that doesn't mean he can sit in a chair.
So that'd be a month. So I'll get back with you next week and let you know if Tim can do it, if that's all right with him.
Yep.
I think he'll do a good job for us.
All right, so the next thing was to approve the curriculum for the upcoming quarter especially. And I know that you, Stan, we'll just keep coming back to you, but you were in charge of that.
I had a meeting with the teachers who wanted to teach the children last week, and we were able to settle on some things with the approval of the men. First of all, the nursery curriculum is something that is pretty well established. There are several ladies who have taught it for a long while. I would like for us to be able to update anything that they would need updating. You know, some of the stuff that's just not been changed, and they would like a few new things to utilize as visual aids in the classes. So I was hopeful that we might maybe a couple of $100 to start off with for some reproducible books that you can reproduce, coloring pages and activity pages and paper puppets and things like that, and as well as those kinds of things. But the nursery curriculum is pretty well set. Elaine Burns has agreed to teach in the next quarter, so we've got that set with everyone's approval. The pre-K with Debbie Cox has agreed to teach that, and the curriculum that we talked about utilizing is curriculum that Rachel Talley has supplied that seems to be pretty good. Now, with the pre-K stuff, as well as the middle school, not the middle school, the primary grades, there have been some work that Patsy Johnson has done that has been utilized and well-received at Woodmont, and she has really worked hard at this. And the good thing about that is we wouldn't have to purchase anything. They have the basic lesson materials, some helps, and the teachers will be able to supply any other activities that they want for themselves, and it would really reduce any cost on our part, and it's pretty much ready to go. She gave me three ring binders today saying this is for the next quarter, so she's got them already, and that's for Riley's age, and that's she's the only one who's right now at that age group in primary grades. And so that gets us to the middle school. Josh Jackson, Janelle Scroggins, if I remember right, she's the one that agreed to teach that this quarter.
Which one?
Riley's age this quarter. Coming March.
I think she said like on Sundays for sure.
Yeah, and she was going to work with someone
else.
Yeah,
I think Rachel would probably do it Wednesdays.
So the teachers are settled for the first quarter, and we're going to have another meeting and try to schedule them out farther. But with regard to the curriculum, the only thing that would need to be purchased would be workbooks and teacher book for the middle school classes, which would be four books each quarter. And there is some curriculum. Josh, have you been able yet to look at that material?
I've been able, I have not read it.
There is one curriculum that is you can buy from CI Bookstore. That it's basically teen and adult book / teen adult book. It looks like it has some good material, and that's what I would suggest, that for the middle school we purchase materials, that we allow the ladies who need some things to get started with this other curriculum to have some purchases made in that regard. There's some flashcards that can be used, other things.
Yeah.
And so my suggestion is we would just go ahead and let the teachers go with that. They seem to be enthused about that curriculum that's being used. It's well designed. If anyone has any interest in looking at it, then I can certainly supply it to you. But the teachers are excited about it.
You may have a reservation about doing that? Want to do something different?
Now, what that leads us with is the adult classes. And I do know that we talked about this last Sunday, that the men wanted me to continue on Sunday mornings until such time as we're finished with the Pauline epistles, which would be finishing up in about a month, 1 Timothy, and then going with Titus and 2 Timothy. And so that's going to get us now for probably 8 months to a year before we're finished with Sunday. But we'll be starting a new quarter in March in the Wednesday class, the Wednesday adult class. And from what I understood, the basic idea was to go ahead and bring everyone together again, either out in the auditorium or in one of these rooms, and have one of the other men teach a class. And we don't have a topic or a book or a teacher assigned for that, and it's already in February. So we need to have someone to express a willingness to teach the class, and then maybe by next week have a topic under consideration there as well. Maybe a book or other material. And I can help whoever wants to do the teaching find some material if they're interested.
We talked about doing topics, I believe.
Yeah,
on Wednesday.
Typically, well, what I've always done is the topics on Wednesdays and the texts, right. Textual studies on Sundays, and it's worked pretty well. Occasionally, maybe a textual thing on Wednesdays, but it's helpful sometimes to deal with issues or to go in a different direction with the study. It changes things up a little bit. But any of the men who have expressed an interest, and by the way, you can't say you didn't because that participation survey that we've got, let's see where it is. The Bible classes on the second page, which is back of the first page. Maybe not. Wait a second.
Next to the last one.
Next to last page?
No, next to the last item on the second page.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Sunday morning or Wednesday adult class, we've got me, Josh, Tommy, Jim Godfrey, Josh Jackson, Dennis Craig, Justin Carroll. Well, that's not as long a list as what I thought.
But, I think we should nominate Justin since he's not here.
That's how it works.
That is the way. That is the way.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, DC, he's been
desirous.
He's been desirous, so I don't think we'll have a problem with it. No, he's interested in doing it.
Send his money back.
Oh, right. You hear that, Justin?
Wherever you are. Your ears are burning right now.
Well, if I'll talk with you about it if he's interested. Are we going to try it, or we want to do this quarterly because we're talking about getting so it's just for 13 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Well, so that's all that we
need. If he's not willing to, I can do it. This
And I would like the approval of the men to make a. Maybe up to $200 worth of purchases for the ladies if they feel the need for things, supplies. You didn't shoot high enough.
I know.
You should say $250.
I know Hunter won't get me very far with this kind of stuff. Would that be okay, everyone?
Okay. I believe that will be all right. All right, Lee, next item we had was a report on the alarm system and the cost.
I can share that as well. That was something I asked to put on there. Just to let y'all know what's going on, we're spending $45 a month for the alarm system. We're spending $200 a month for the cameras. A camera is supposed to be monitored. In other words, if they see something suspicious, they're supposed to call us. There's supposed to be motion sensors. They look at it and call us. I don't know that anyone has ever been called. I don't know that there are any numbers even assigned, although my number, I think, now is assigned. But the other thing is the possibility for us to remotely monitor it, but that's never been set up. So we're basically wasting $200 a month for that purpose. I don't know if we are leasing the equipment or if we have purchased the equipment and we're just on a lease that's a two-year lease. But basically, we can't get out of it. We'd have to pay the amount regardless. We got out of it until October of this year. So that $200 a month is there for until October of this year. But I don't think that's something we should continue. If we have to give the equipment back, we already had equipment that's still sitting around here somewhere that we could reinstall. It's not as good a quality. But it basically does exactly what we're doing now. And it's not $200 a month. We've already purchased it. There's also other kinds of equipment we can do. It just doesn't make sense to do $200 a month.
I'd like to look at, you know, in the that gives us 6 months or something more. I can't do months.
Eight
months to look at it. I think try to put something together and look at what's out there. Because there's some other stuff out there that's, like the cameras we got now are like... kind of a joke almost, like I feel like we're looking at older technology. They're supposed to be HD, but the quality of it's kind of sketch. So I don't think I need permission to look, but I'll try to put some ideas together before October.
It just shocked me though, $200.
Yeah, because we could have one-time investment, own the equipment, and have it all through Wi-Fi on our, you know, on our Wi-Fi and still do the same thing. We're probably under what it costs us a year to pay them.
Ring doorbell.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Well, there's things like that.
Put one in each store.
And then when he goes
well, an ADT does them too.
Pick my phone up, look at it, and go, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, right.
Your kid's getting on here.
It just seems a little bit over. Yeah. You know, that's $2,500 a year that we're spending
What do you want to mark?
And then another $500 a year for the large. That's $3,000.
Over $3,000.
So I wanted y'all to be aware of that.
Hey, then we can hire the janitor's bag for the cleaners.
So if there's no problem with it, then we'll have Josh Sproggins put together next 2 or 3 months a little, presentation or whatever you think.
I'll go to Best Buy.
Let us know what you
find. Basically, let's see what's feasible. Because I don't think we need as many cameras as we have right now either. I think we could get away with
do drones?
Yeah.
I feel predators with hellfire missiles.
I think as long as we got one sheds and some of the entrances,
there wouldn't be any return to crime.
But
yeah, check him.
Okay. We can get turrets.
I know there's some you can get like at Costco or at Amazon. There's like 6 or 8 cameras.
Yeah, exactly. We have something like that. We have something like that right now. I think upstairs that we just continue to use up because it was too glitchy.
One of the biggest things to help Josh out a lot, and I know he knows this already, is if the other company is going to leave the wires where they are, which they are, because they're not going to pull them because that just makes more work for them. If they're already wired, hooking new cameras up to the old wires is pretty easy.
Yeah, if we decide to even stay with that old coax stuff that they're using, that's part of the reason our quality is not that great.
Because
we use that RG8. I think if we did something ourselves, I think it would all be wireless and more likely to work on Wi-Fi. But you're right, they probably aren't going to come back and take any of the stuff. They made their money on it.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll look at that in an upcoming meeting. I know the next item we're not really going to get into probably a lot tonight, but it's been brought up a couple times about, and as I've been approached a few times this month about, are we willing to look at getting a new building and just look around, see how much it would be, because our building is getting old, and I would imagine we could save quite a bit of money on electricity and maybe even on the insurance.
I was the one that put that on the agenda, and had that like not necessarily about finding a buyer. We have a potential of 2 buyers, or shouldn't have a problem with that. But we should start if we want to locate. We need to start locating. And what kind of radius from here? 2-mile radius, or 3-mile, 5-mile, or whatever. And start scouting around and see if there's any buildings or even some church that dissolved, whether it's denomination or part, I don't know if there's any large churches that are, but some.
You're probably looking at the same age of the building. And, I mean, you might get lucky, but chances are you're going to end up with the same mid-century, type. Most of the buildings around are aging. The newer stuff is all mega church, not mega churches, but it's, I don't.
Too big for us.
Yeah. I don't see us finding an existing building. If we did, it would probably be new construction on a smaller scale than what we currently have. And I don't know that.
Well, there's other
I don't see it being something that's. I mean, I understand what you're saying about it being, the cost savings and whatnot. But I don't know if at this point we're ready for something like that.
Yeah, I would just like to say that I would not be at all hesitant to do that. I think it would be a beneficial thing, but at the same time, I'm not at all hesitant in refraining from it. But it seems to me that this is the kind of thing that individuals who have an interest in looking into it, that all the looking in needs to be done and some homework be done on their part, if they're motivated to do that, right, so that we're not just talking about it. Because
no, I agree. And I brought it up when I was talking about the finances, and I've looked at a few sites as far as land possibilities, how much it costs, but I haven't had a chance to get into like what I would need to.
Yeah. My preference would be that we just table it until someone has some meat for us. And if it has some meat, bring it up, let's talk about it. But until then, because if this kind of thing gets talked about too much, then it can lead to some instability in the congregation. Right?
Yes.
If we could locate a perfect place for a perfect price and start fresh with a brand new building, that could really be an encouragement. But at the same time, it could be a discouragement to members in the congregation that are local to this area. And I just don't think we need to be talking about it until we've got some information. It's interesting, yeah, but you know, it just, other than that, it's just talking. It can be tiresome, to be honest. Yeah. So, you know, how far we have to bring this up again? You know, we're not ready. So.
Well, at least we have growth potential here.
We do.
So
that's fine. That's where some new business that I want to bring up just very quickly.
We'll
play it again.
We haven't got the new business yet.
No, I know.
There's no need to get into the building. We don't need it, you know. But if finances get such that we have to do something like that, we've got to think about. But part of us stay here, again, we're located, everybody knows where we are.
Well, if an opportunity arises that we can jump on, it'd be great. But we just need to... You need to look into it. Someone needs to, and Josh would be willing. I know he'd be willing to look around, but see if there's any feasibility to it.
Because it's not moved for the sake of moving. That's not good.
All right, so we're going to table that until we get some new information. That takes care of all the old business. Now it's time for new business. And one of the first things we find out is that as we started doing our own cleaning and yard work, we need a push mower and we need a vacuum. And so tonight we need to see if we can improve that. Is anybody hesitant on that at all? I say you get a good one of each and hopefully you don't have to get another one for a while.
Donna had a suggestion to get maybe get two vacuums. One to be like a $100 stick vacuum, or going between the pews would be a lot easier than dragging a canister in and out of the pews.
Sure.
Is that a hooky? Does anybody have a problem with buying two vacuum cleaners like that? One, a big one and a smaller one?
Nope.
Anybody have any problem with a push mower?
Definitely.
So, on the push mower, I guess I'm asking because more than likely that's kind of like my territory, I guess. I mean,
well, you volunteered last night.
Yeah, so I can go pick one out. I just need to know an amount that everybody's comfortable with spending, because I don't think we need top of the line because we're just using it for the very front part.
I think the main thing we need it. I don't think we need a self-propelled movie.
I don't think so. I mean, that's not high on my list of things that's probably necessary.
You could get one of those.
Some of the older people don't want to do it. Might disagree.
What about the trimmers and everything? Do we have those?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We've got trimmers, we've got an edger.
Is the ride a lot more in good shape? Decent shape?
It's all right. I ran it out and you ran it around a little bit yesterday, and then I let Justin go ahead and use it because I would need to be somewhere, but I'll get some chance when it's not raining.
Yeah.
To actually like go and mow. Once I mow like a whole backyard, I'll have a better idea of kind of where we're at with that. Just running it over the little back patch back there wasn't long enough to run it and get it kind of up to speed and see what it's doing. So I heard some noises that were disconcerting, but that's not necessarily indicative of a problem. Sometimes it just needs a blade change or something.
We're also going to need some gas.
Yes, we do need some gas.
So does anybody have trouble with $350 for a lawnmower? Is that too much?
We're going to come into that.
Yeah.
Good. I'm thinking like probably around
$200. Okay.
If that. And if I can talk, two and a half. If I can talk to them, if I can find the right guy at the right time, I can probably get one for less.
Just stay under $250.
Yeah.
Yeah. And about the vacuums, do the ladies have preferences? Have they indicated the kind of vacuum they'd be most...
Oh, you know they do. We don't know what they are.
Well, those can be very expensive, but at the same time, I don't know anything about that.
I think someone to ask would be Caroline. She's pretty much an expert on vacuums right now.
Who?
Caroline, daughter Caroline.
I have
come up with a recommendation.
I have one question here. I might bring up and give somebody something to think about. It's about cleaning the baptistry that you're doing. I don't know what you've got now to clean it with, but years ago, a man, I have to mount that, he had a machine that he hooked up a hose to, and we ran a hose out to the ground from the back, mm-hmm. and it pumped it out about, I don't know exactly, I'd say a couple of hours or not. Have you got one?
Well, I've got pumps. We got some pumps. I got all kinds of pumps.
Okay.
Fun pumps.
I just want to make sure.
If I needed to pump it out, but
I can put it on reverse and pump it out through. I got weight, don't worry.
Okay.
I don't need anything.
Who's a warrior?
Take care of that warrior.
They're magicians.
Give him a gallon jug. Right. Yeah. Well,
take a bath.
Okay. So we do approve the vacuums and push them. I'm just doing this for the minutes.
Yes.
They're approved, but we're going to get some suggestions with regard to vacuums.
But I think we need to do that pretty quickly because we are in need of some. We don't need to wait around the next business meeting.
So it's just the vacuum that the janitors were using is bad?
I think it was theirs.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
And there's one.
The past, we've always supplied them.
Oh,
so
maybe it didn't work.
Well, there's one that wasn't sucking up stuff very well. That's why last week I brought mine and did the foyer before church.
What about a post on the closed site for the ladies? They would jump right on it.
Yep.
I think that's a good idea.
Since I've got to go buy a lawnmower anyway, why don't I monitor that conversation and then upon, agreement by the women that choose to participate, we'll do something on that front too and try to keep it under what y'all think.
I don't know. But
I don't either, but
if it's something that blows your doors off.
Well, yeah, I mean, some vacuum cleaner should be about $100, I think.
I think they're more than that.
A good canister one's going to be a little bit more than that.
I can get a shop back for like less than that.
I know, but my wife's not using a shop back.
But they're not very convenient to use in a building, an auditorium.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, so we're going to look at that and we'll try to get an answer on that.
Possibly volunteer to post on the site asking for a renovation.
Yeah, sure, I'll do that. Right. I will handle that.
Okay, so we have approval. We're just waiting on some suggestions on the vacuum, and we already have approval for the lawnmower. So,
and then since we're all going to meet briefly next Sunday night, how about we'll make that the deadline for a vacuum solution.
Okay. I like it.
Okay.
All right, the next item is ZBAC Pose to start Wednesday night service at 7 p.m. until 7:30.
It's 7:30 is sometimes hard to make sometimes with things. And,
7 or 7:30?
7:30 is already tight. So seven, pushing it up another half hour is going to make it even.
Who was it? Someone suggesting?
Yes.
Suggesting it? Were there reasons behind it?
Yes. I was one of the ones. I'm a big proponent of the 7 p.m.
Okay.
One of the things is we get out really late. I get up really early to go to work in the morning. You know, I'm up around 5 o'clock. And 5 o'clock comes real early when you get home at 9:30 from church every Wednesday night.
I know some of the ones with little kids probably wouldn't object to moving it up either.
And then some of the people, in the past when I've always asked about that, people said, oh, well, the people who drive far would like to have a little more time. Well, I'm one of the ones that drive a little far too, so.
I know Laura would be in great approval of moving it up because she takes a lot of medicine at night, and the earlier she takes it, the easier it is for her to. For her to get up the next morning, so I know she would be in agreement with moving it up. If others have objections to it,
what are the other things? Then?
I have no preference from my girl. Yeah,
not me either. But I think maybe that's something
my kids are going to be
whole probably
difficulty.
We could poll almost the entire congregation pretty quickly now. I could put one of those surveys up online to ask if it's been suggested using the pros and cons of each. Let it be polled and see what people say.
Yeah.
Just because, you know.
I figured the only one who would have a problem would be Josh and maybe Paul.
Oh, no, 7's better.
7's better for you?
Mm-hmm. We stay in town. We don't drive home. We're killing time.
Yeah, the only other one I would think might have would be Jerry, but he's not in here.
Well,
Jerry
Byrne. He stays. It would be a lane. They don't leave dinner before, I think.
He told me that 7 o'clock would be way better for them as well.
Okay, so they're just wasting time until 7:30, I think, too, yeah, just like Paul.
My only real objection is Janelle gets off at 7 on those days, and then so 7:30 allows her. But most of the time, she doesn't ever get out of there before 8 o'clock anyway.
Yeah,
so, you know how that works.
Like, make it 7?
Well, you want to pull and throw
I was just a little bit concerned about maybe someone that's not in here, one of the ladies, to do it before asking.
Yeah, I think we should.
I would definitely.
Yeah.
We've dealt with 730 for years, so
you can get in.
Find out.
Yeah, you can get people.
It's not the end of the world. Yeah, that's the way it is for me.
I just said because I know you
retarded.
I know you work later than. I know you work later than a lot of us.
5:30.
So we're gonna put a survey out for the Wednesday night service at 7:00 and see how that goes.
We would get home.
Yeah. All right, let's stay together.
We need to show up.
Related to Wednesday night Bible classes. Remember, we were talking about unifying the class period times to the same amount of time, so there's less confusion. Okay, I ring the bell at this time and this time, and remembering that one's a quarter after versus 10 after, this, that, and the other.
So just change Sunday.
Okay.
Make sure Sunday's shorter, and then you get more time between services.
Okay, and I think that's what we came up with when we talked about it, Jim and Tommy. Is that what I recall?
Yes.
Okay. Second bell at 10 after?
First.
First bell
first
at
10,
15?
Yeah.
But now, yeah, just like Wednesday, but now Sunday is 15 and 20.
Hey, man, I just stopped when it bit.
I just looked at that. Like, yeah, third goal for Stan at 7:00.
Now, that stuff I don't think you have to poll, so you don't even notice.
No, I don't think anybody would even notice 5 minutes.
Okay. Man, I'm like 5 minutes cut off my class.
Or you can say, hey, I don't have to talk as much. All right, so we'll
or talk faster.
I'll try.
First bell at 10 after, second at 15 after. And we'll put a poll out for the change of times and gradually work that in if it is approved. All right, so then...
Before we go into talking about times,
okay.
I put it down there that anybody knows why we change this to 5 o'clock. Does anybody know? Is there any good reason why they went from 6 to 5?
Well, I recall several months back, maybe years now, there was a large amount of us that really wanted to move to a single service in the morning and maybe a little bit more than we normally do in the morning. And that would leave the evenings open to do things like small groups or socializing with one another that we don't normally get to do because most people work or have other activities. There was a good movement for it, but the elders determined that we still needed to have an evening worship, but they kind of met us in the middle with moving it from 6 to 5, so we would still have that evening worship. And also be able to have time in the evening to socialize afterwards.
Socialize with who?
Each other.
The new members
that are coming in.
I mean,
away from the building, away from the building, like at restaurants and things.
Yeah.
Not in the lobby, but actually, like when we started doing that, like meeting at the Italian place and whatnot, things like that.
5 o'clock meeting time was preferred by Jerry.
Okay.
Brad wanted to keep it at 6. Jerry wanted to move it at 5. He's always wanted to have it at 5, and that's why the decision was made.
Okay.
At times, it helps some who have to drive in the dark.
Yeah.
At times.
Robin said that there's several women that if we move it back, it's going to affect their attendance because...
But yeah, and that was one of the...
Because of what?
To... Doing it
all in the they don't place. See well in the dark.
Right.
Okay.
It's just as dark if we have it 5 o'clock.
You know, not during the summer.
The summer.
Okay.
Not during the summer.
The winter, the darker has nothing to do with it because we start at 5, we get out, it's dark. It's all, you know, we're now starting to be light, so there's no need. And it's only, but there's no time whenever we get out now, with daylight is done out without it, we get out at 6 o'clock, it's dark in that time of year. So that darkness thing doesn't fit.
Then
you get,
Wednesday
night's always dark. Without that, you know.
I like it, Pat.
When we can put that on the list of the 7 o'clock thing.
We'd be getting a bunch of things on the list.
If yeah, let's.
Let's table that.
Everybody agreed to discuss that. We need to discuss that.
Go the earlier we get here, we have no guarantee.
So what's the consensus?
To wait?
To table. Yeah,
table.
It's not even on the list. So
the table. The loudest?
No.
The consensus?
Right. No, does anybody else want to change it to 6 right now?
Nope.
No.
All right, the next item is removing the people from the directory.
Come on.
Chop their heads.
I checked that off real quick so we can move on.
Okay. Yep.
In our online directory, I have the ability to make an entry invisible. It's still there, and so I can make it visible again. The reason I thought that we would leave folks in there is so that you'd have access to mailing addresses and phone numbers if you wanted to contact them, but we got those in our printed directories anyway. So I went ahead and went through and made those individuals invisible. If they should come back, I can reverse it. But while we're on the subject of the online directory, I want to ask the Cox family, Josh,
yes.
To be the first one, volunteer to be the first one to update your photo. No one has even tried to do that yet, and that was one of the reasons that we chose this particular.
And you could update your own photo.
You can update your own photo.
Yeah, we have an online.
You can take a photo with your camera, and you can upload it, and it'll appear right there.
Yeah,
there you go.
I forgot.
Yeah,
Debbie
and I
will do that too.
So just maybe one or two will do it, and others because what I've got on there right now are clips, you know, of photographs, and you see half of someone's head, someone's shoulder.
Dennis, I have never been on the online directory, so.
Neither have I.
Hey, it's very
we
good
can fix
access.
That.
That's all I use.
You both have phone, and you've got access, yep. And you can send text, and you can send a call from it.
Okay.
That's all right. I use.
Yeah, you can send the download with the app.
With the app.
Oh, yeah?
Sort out that.
Yes.
I finally have the use for those
right.
Halloween
pictures. The next item that came up, see, we are getting toward the end here, is... So people have talked about replacing the trays that we have, and we'd also talked about reducing the number of men maybe to be on the table. And if we do that, do we want to adjust the number of trays?
I wanted to weigh in on this because the ladies have come to me. Okay. When we're talking about individuals interested in replacing the trays, they want to do this anonymously but on their own amount. I mean, they're going to buy it themselves. So it's going to be donated to the church, in other words. And so what we need to decide so that this can be done is how many trays we're going to need. We don't need 6 trays. We just don't. And one of the things that Tommy suggested, I thought might be very workable, to have 3 men at the table instead of 4, have the 1 man go down the middle and the 2 on the sides, and have 3 trays total. Trays are very expensive, but these individuals are willing to make the purchases. There are 3 possibilities. There is the polished aluminum, there is the silver-toned aluminum, and then there is the brass finish, which is kind of a goldish finish. And what we have in there, I think, is the polished aluminum. The silver-toned is probably something that would look a little bit better, but the tops, 2 of them, are just like the ones that we have now. And there's really not much to go by except for the others have crosses on the top of them. Or the knobs, like they are here. But anyway, in order for them to know what it is that they are going to buy or need to buy, we need to determine how we're going to do it. I just don't think we need the 6 anymore. That makes it harder for Jim to get enough men to get, that's 1 less man that would have to do it. We can even go, 2 men, and then just 2 guys on the sides get up just from their seats and do it. Just have 2 men at the front, so there's that, and then 1 other thing about the Lord's Supper. I would suggest that since it's more common now that we will not have anyone who will need to partake in the evening, for the song leader to ask so that the men don't have to get up and then ask and look confused and sit down. And just for the song leader to have 2 songs if they want a different song,
I don't necessarily have to have a different song. A song before the deal, but if it's not, then announce the other song and just go on. And that's just because we're, you know, about half the time now we don't have anyone who needs it, and it's kind of an awkward thing for the men to have to be sitting up there. And
well, and some of the people, right. This is as high as they're going to raise their hand.
Yeah. But if the song leader just says, "Is there anyone here this evening who needs to partake of the supper?" then they can say yes. If there's no one, "I see no one. If you will, turn to such and such number," and just go on.
I've also had another suggestion too, which if everybody agrees, I might implement. Going on what Stan was saying is, since we're going to do that, and I think that's a good idea, keep the same two men from the morning and descend at night.
If you do that, you just let the song get good. That's how we used to do it.
Well, I'm saying if we just keep the same, if we just keep the same people from the morning on a Sunday night, unless it's unless they're available, that way, and if nobody needs to take that Sunday night, nobody has to do it at all. So it might be easy for those same two men from the morning to do it at night, even if they had to get up and serve one or two people instead of having separate people. Does anybody have a problem if you have it in the morning to have it again at night?
But honestly, if nobody, I don't see a problem letting the song leader do it if there's only one person and it takes them 5 seconds and just have, I mean,
I think
some song leaders don't like that.
Yeah, I think we could keep the people from the morning would be easier than the song leader. But and I know like Dennis, you know, he could do it in the morning and wouldn't be able to do it at night, but. We could make separate arrangements for times like that.
So what your suggestion is, 2 men at the table then?
No, well, just the inner 2 men from the morning would do the night.
I got 2.
So even if we stuck with 4, just the 2, or if we stuck with 3, two of the men,
yes.
And that might work out better than us two if just 2 of the 3 did at night.
Josh is being polite over there on the wall. He's ready to bend.
Well, 2 things. I haven't paid too terribly much opinion, I have plenty of opinion. I haven't paid too much attention to the wares, even though I look at it every Sunday. I didn't know we were in need of any. While I appreciate generosity, I very much do, and I think it's awesome that it's in the heart of the ladies to do this, whoever they may be. I don't want them to spend unnecessarily on it. That's my concern here. So I don't see that there's an issue with that. But as regards to number, if they do it, while we may not need right now 6 trays, I think we should plan for growth, because I think we need to be, and this is talking to myself, ramping up our evangelistic efforts, our personal studies, our converting to where we do have absolutely a need for six.
New trays can be purchased at any time.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
But also, that model has been in existence forever.
Well, that's just true. It doesn't mean we're going to throw the old ones out either.
We're not going to throw the old ones away. You don't have to fight with Thackeray, because he spent about 4 hours like hands cleaning all those last Saturday. So maybe they should look good.
The men's perception of need and the woman's perception of need. You talk to women, we badly need this.
Thackeray cleaned them under the, like, auspice of the women back there, so maybe people should look at them again, because Zachary's offended right now.
They're not going nowhere.
They looked a lot better after that.
Zachary's like, "What do you mean you want to replace them? I scrubbed those for 4 hours." I'm like, "Well, you obviously didn't do a good job."
So, bring no offense, Zachary. No offense. We appreciate it.
Bringing us back together, is 3 okay? 3 men on the table, 3 trays?
Well, sure. That's okay with me, but how is that going to work? Are we going to have one man who's the head and he leads the prayers, or we're going to have him call on one of the other to lead prayers?
Well, yeah, prayers. Why not
three
just bread
and three men?
Yeah. There you got. If you got 3 men,
but not all
bread. Did the bread.
I think that they still have the 2. Well, 2 men, and then the third one not leading the prayer, unless.
Because I'm still hoping to get like Lorenzo up on that one of those.
Yeah, right. But I think the only really concern of that is, because men would know better than I, because I never do it. But would it be too difficult for there to be 3 men passing? In other words, 1 in the middle and 1 on each side.
You put somebody could be in the middle.
Yeah, other congregations do it.
I think you could do it three. Like we were talking earlier, that this 12 is in the center would just have to probably pay attention, be aware, to make sure they keep it all moving.
Did everybody sit together down front?
Well, probably some adjustments might be made as time goes on if that were the case, but it's just.
And whoever's on lobby duty could always hop on the back because they usually do anyway. Whoever's in lobby, they usually come up and usually help out in the back anyway. So it's usually really only the front half of the. I think we could do it. And then two of the three from the morning would do the night.
As needed. Real quickly, alternatively, I've seen it in similar sized congregations where we have. A row of pews here and a row of pews here, where they just run up one and then back down the other, and that's only two men. If we're worried about manpower, just
well, I think you would need at least three, one in the middle.
Yeah,
because the way everybody sits, not everybody.
Well, he was talking about having two men go down this side and then come back up this side.
Yes.
And have the trays back on the table when they're done.
If these individuals are okay with it, can I suggest the silver cone that would be a little bit, maybe a little not shinier
than
what we've gotten?
And we're going to go three?
Three.
Everybody okay with three?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I make a request? It's been some years since I've addressed the men regarding my convictions, and I think everyone pretty much understands what my convictions are, since it was brought up a while ago. Where it gets a little tricky for Donna and I is when the song leader gets up there. We don't have a problem with the song that's bad, but when they purpose the song for a certain purpose, we can't sing it.
I understand. I get
that. I've made that request before, and it was done. It was handled pretty well for a while, but then we just forget. Do you understand what I mean by that?
I do.
As a song leader, if you say, we're going to lead this song to prepare our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper, now you purpose that song for that purpose, and I can't sing it
in the evening. For example, I noticed, I picked up on that without you. I don't know that you specifically said it, but I understood and noticed that.
Right.
And so I've altered my vernacular to say, there will be an opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper after this song.
Right.
Not specifically, and the song may be that way, but I haven't purposed before that,
right.
But I said after that. And I think that's been okay, yes.
Sure.
Okay.
That would be fine.
All right. I'm trying to be respectful.
Just if the song leaders are mindful of it, then that keeps that awkward situation for the Craigs coming up.
Right.
And it is appreciated on their part.
And you said the song's not an issue.
Right.
Is that for all songs? I mean, aren't there a couple... Because I'm remembering when you said that, I'm conscious of that, but I maybe have remembered you. For example, Tis Said Is Feast Divine, that's really only got, there's a difference between a song about the Lord's death and a song
there
that
are,
is specifically.
We may not, but those would be rarities, but there are certain songs that are specifically talking about we're about to take the Lord's Supper.
Why I make sure I don't leave those on Sunday night.
Right. And yeah, you're right about that. But the main thing is just be careful not to purpose the song, that we couldn't.
Sure.
It's a little awkward to sit there and not to sing.
I understand
that. My concern is it doesn't offend me not to sing, but I'm concerned about my brethren. Why did this thing in the bass, He's not singing. What's going on?
Well, if any of the song leaders have questions to talk to this about it.
Sure.
Because I don't see any problem with accommodating him in that.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So
is that... One second.
Yes.
Before we move on, since we're talking about changing number of men, I have one other question. If anybody is opposed to it, I was going to ask if we could eliminate the afternoon or evening scripture reading. I guess read scripture in the morning and not in the evening. And that would... My two scripture readings, Eddie and Jay, obviously, with Jay being his health not being great, that would allow me to alternate Eddie and Jay in the morning rather than have one in the morning, one at night. If anybody has a problem not having a scripture reading in the evening.
Jim, I think...
There are others that are willing to as well.
Yeah, there are other willing, but usually I need other men in other positions.
Well, we just freed up one person, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Because I looked on the list yesterday, and we had 15 men on the list, and right now it takes 14 men every Sunday. So if one person is missing, everybody's working that Sunday, and everybody's working every Sunday. And I know vacation time's coming up in the summer, and it's going to...
I spent about 10 months, about 11 months, attending the Highway 290 congregation down in Brenham, Texas. Great congregation, faithful congregation, but if you didn't pull two duties on a Sunday, you weren't doing your job. So
I'm just asking if there's even any slight... we'll keep it the way it is. It doesn't matter to me.
I'm afraid.
I just want to read scripture. I'd love to.
I do too. I'd love to.
We can double up and take out an aspect of worship.
Yeah. I don't mind having it. And whatever. And, you know, Sunday night, both. It doesn't matter. But my only thing is, I've never. Yes, maybe it's a failing on my part, but I don't understand the purpose of the actual scripture reading. I feel like because we are reading through, you know, chapters, which we do that in classes, so I think the scripture reading would be more apropos if it was the scripture was furnished by the preacher or the person doing the sermon for that morning or that night, and it pertained to, you know, like an overall thesis of kind of what was going to be preached. So, like, if Sam's going to preach on, you know, baptism that morning, it's a scripture that
like
he furnishes
about. Or something.
Yeah,
so that,
would exactly.
Would you mind supplying the name and then just me penciling in the verses?
I think that would be appropriate, I mean, just for the service, because you're getting the people's mind in the right place where it is. Otherwise,
Put the names up, and then I'll on your sheet, and I just gonna type in the deal. I'll just supply scriptures.
That's that. I'm
okay with that. And then if there's somebody else preaching, or if it's a Sunday night and there's somebody preaching and they want to, you know, submit a verse to be read or whatever, then.
All right, you start listing things to read instead of the way we've been reading, then you're saying that we as readers will be reading out whatever verses, and we would be reading different points of the Bible, right?
No, it would be one reading. It would be one reading,
like it is now. In the Bible.
That's what you'll have.
Because there would be a continuous reading through the New Testament. It'd be any scripture that would pertain to the...
Yeah. Or we could do like some of the black churches, and just whenever, instead of me reading up, every time I need someone to read, I'll say, but so is it'll be
sure
basically the same.
I understand now. I thought the way you're talking, I'd pick out a verse here and read to another place.
Okay. I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't work.
That would be
great. It's kind of like our song service. We song leaders try to make it relate to the lesson, but it would make sense to me that the reading would pertain to the lesson. But I know it's not always in a good work, but
okay.
It just makes more sense.
Before you go to that last thing here, talking about inclement weather, the last time we shut down for inclement weather, it really wasn't that way all over. And Stan says, well, he's willing to come to the building. Anybody that can make it will have a service.
I know that a lot of people don't. I think that we need to get it where people do not feel the compunction to come when they feel it's unsafe. And I think we've reached that point in this congregation, primarily because of how far people are away or how old they are, that they're not very comfortable. I don't want us to say we're going to go ahead and have services, but don't come if you don't feel comfortable and they feel compelled to come. And so if we're going to do this, and that's the problem, not having elders, of who's going to make that decision. So what I'm saying is I'm local. I can be here at the building, and that's not going to be a problem. There's going to be very few instances where that's not possible. But if inclement weather comes up, I think if we're going to decide to be more, you know, where we'll be here if you want to come, for them to understand and recognize that they should not feel bad about not being comfortable with driving and those kinds of issues. Yeah, I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. But again... You're over there in North Richmond Hills. I don't want you spinning out on the overpass because you feel like it's open. You're going to be here.
You know, if it's dangerous for you to come, don't come.
Well, true.
But you're the one I'm talking about, though, because you're going to come if it's
over. Well, that's the sun is shining here. And they shut us down.
Yeah, but you don't know what's going to. We can't. We can only go with what the prediction is. If it predicts that an hour after we get here, it's going to ice over, you got to go with what's safe. Unfortunately, they didn't. So
that was like people need to be comfortable with saying, I can't do it this week. I've not always felt that way. I've gotten frustrated in the past because I'm sitting here at the building and there's 10 of us here and nothing's on the street and people didn't come because of it. But I don't feel that way. And I think that there's some aspect of this that since we don't have elders, there's no one to make the decision. And we just need to emphasize, come if you feel comfortable, but don't if you don't. And if it's something that's obviously, overtly, there's ice on the ground, don't come. We can send that message out. But if there's the chance that there's inclement weather or you're worried about it, then just follow your conscience in that. Nobody's going to say anything about it.
Cross that icy bridge when we get there.
Yeah. But I'm local, so unless that bridge, I mean, I can slide across that bridge from one side to the other at the light down the road, and that's the only bridge I've got across.
I can do it faster.
Yeah, I can get a few things on the way, but I can get across that, no trouble. So you just get a running start. So I can be here, but if you don't feel that way, that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's the best way to handle it, because otherwise you've got to have someone making the decision, and I don't know that I want to be the one to do that.
All right, somebody good with that?
Good with what?
If you feel like it's unsafe to come, don't come, but otherwise the services will probably be.
Stan, you've seen my driveway.
I know.
So if it's slippery, I'm not going to be here.
I understand that.
Okay.
I don't think I would either. I don't think I'd get out of that driveway.
Yeah, but those of you have the sunshine where we are and we come here, you're not here because.
Well, we will make everybody's. We'll make know what the conditions are in the building. We'll try to text everyone, make everyone aware.
That's a good debate.
Be willing to do that.
All right, so one of the last things that we need to do before opening up is we need to add Jerry Burns to the bank accounts because of the kind of bank account it is. We need to have it actually officially in the minutes that the congregation has approved him to be on the account. And when we have that in the minutes, then we can take that up and actually add him.
I recommend it.
Okay. Everybody good with that?
Yep.
Yes.
It will be so done.
Is anything anybody else wants to talk about?
One thing real quick.
Okay.
We're talking about evangelism. I would like to get started with two things on Facebook. Facebook allows you to go to a particular demographic, X number of miles away from the building, gender and age. You can get it right down to whatever you want, which, of course, we want everybody in this particular area. I would like to start preaching once a month a lesson that would be enticing to individuals who are not Christians. Sometimes it may be on a doctrinal matter, making a distinction, but a lot of times it will be dealing with issues that just is interesting in the day or things that would appeal to them, and to advertise that on Facebook. I would also like to, one time a month, to write an article or put kind of an ad about our congregation out so that people will know about us and get that information out on Facebook.
You should do that?
We've done it a couple of times. It's only a couple of times. But it would cost, what I would suggest, is $50 a month. I could use $30 to boost the sermon and $20 to boost the ad / article and just kind of see where it goes. Because you get upwards of, it'll appear in 2,500, for $30, 2,500, 3,000 news feeds, where it will come up as a sponsored post. And if it's something that catches their eye, maybe they'll click on, listen to a little bit of the sermon, and we can maybe put some other information in the notes and everything about our congregation. And just thought that would be something kind of low cost right now. We could see how it goes, and something I could get off pretty quick.
I'm good with it.
Yeah, me too. Anything we can do to help improve the evangelism.
We need to start doing some things. Right. This is something I can get on right away.
Very good. Anybody else? All right, then we'll consider ourselves dismissed, and we'll meet again next week. Remember. to discuss a couple items.
Okay.